The next item on the agenda is public hearing, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 20-7, 20-10. Dr. Wesson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Last month we advertised for two things. We put in place an emergency regulation on water restrictions that gave two more hours in September and one more hour from May to June 15th. It's been very well received by the industry, and so we have to vote on that to become part of the permanent regulation. And then the second part is just the season setting that we do every year. We actually have some oysters to harvest this year, more than we've probably seen since 2004 or 2005. Had a good set in 2006 in a number of places, so there'll be a lot more oysters in the Rappahannock this year. Be some in the Great Wicomico that we haven't seen in a while. Some in Mobjack we haven't seen for years. And then just in Pocock, Tangier Sounds has decent amounts of oysters this year, so we could have another 100,000 bushel season this year, which would be very good for the industry, especially with the Gulf problems that we have right now where people are being very slow to get oysters out of there.
Dr. Wesson, if I could, mm-hmm. what I'd like to do is split this in half so I don't have to focus on the other part first. This is a public hearing pertaining to the emergency regulation that was passed last month pertaining to the extension, two-hour extension. Is anyone in the audience opposed to this measure? All those that are in support this measure, could you raise your hand? Matter is before the commission for a vote. Public hearing is closed. Mr. Bowden.
I scratched him up.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
I would offer a motion in support of staff's recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mr. Bowden. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. It is a regulation in place. Continue, right. Please. Thank you.
I gave a little chart for you that you can kind of look at while we're talking, but the area that just to refresh your memory of the new things that we're doing is we're trying rotation areas in both Tangier, Pocomoke, and in the Rappahannock. In this area, if you recall, last year we had Area 1 and Area 6 open, so this year's rotation would be Area 2 and Area 4. We had advertised that they would open simultaneously in October, but at Shellfish meeting there was good discussion and there was actually a good suggestion that we started last year a buyback program of buying the large orchards in this area as a part of doing this rotation. And it's because this area had been closed for so long that our partners wanted to see the effort to keep those big orchards go to some use. So we bought those large oysters back from the watermen. All the large oysters came from this area as we would have expected. We didn't get any, I don't think we even got a single bushel out of Area 6 because that area had been opened for years. The committee said that, you know, it wasn't the intent, even though we have it in our regulation, that we would buy back from 1 through 6, that 1 through 3 is the area where the big oysters are, and it takes them too much time to check sizes of large and small in, say, Area 4 here, where there would be a lot of oysters and not very many in the big category. So they suggested that we did not do the buyback in Area 4, and then that would extend to actually 4, 5, and 6 for the future. And based on our own surveys, way down here at the bottom, this is all the oysters that would be this little bit, those little bits available to harvest in this area. So there are no oysters for them to catch in those areas in those large sizes. So it's just a burden on them to do that harvesting. The problem was is that since Area 4 and Area 2 were scheduled to open at the same time for law enforcement, it'd be a nightmare trying to figure out which side they'd been on, where they could have big oysters and little oysters. So they made the suggestion that actually Area 4 be the only one that opens on October 1st, as we had recommended, and hold Area 2 to open on December 1st after that area goes out. So one would come after the other. The buyback would then start in December from only Area 2. And that's a time when a lot of other areas are opening at the same time, so The industry will be distributed pretty widely throughout the state, and it won't be nearly as big of a burden to keep up with it, and those that are there can just do the buyback program. So we're in agreement that's a good addition to the regulation. The unfortunate thing is we will have to probably pass an emergency regulation to take area 4, 5, and 6 out of regulation 260 where it was mentioned. You probably really would not even have to do it because there's so few there that they're not going to find any, but just for somebody that doesn't get hassled, it's probably better to have the emergency regulation. The only point of contention in the Shellfish Committee meeting and with the regulations was, again, the Potomac tributaries. We, in the past 2 years, we have focused a great deal of our effort to move seed, both this new program that we have for spat on shell, as well as seed orchards from the Great Wicomico, targeting a whole lot of effort into the Potomac tribs. And the three major rivers there, the Nomini, the Cone, and the Wicomico. I have not included those in your in the regulation for a season because staff would prefer to manage them differently with a replenishment program project as opposed to a regulation that would turn out to be very complicated. Our department does a really, really good job of keeping up with money and spending the money the way we're supposed to for planting seed and shells. The Blue Ribbon Panel wanted us to do a better job of figuring out the cost benefit of what we do. I mean, the budget situation is very tight right now. We need to know if we should be investing in seed, wild seed, spat on shell, if any of it makes any sense for the commission to be doing. We tally everything into these seed areas when we do it. We can tell you the dollars go in, the exact bushels, acreage, but we never do the back end of it and tally them out to see what the benefits are. So we would like to do the areas that are scheduled to open, and we have three areas in the Yocomico, one area in the Cone River, and three areas in the Rappahannock that received seed last year, a wild seed that we would like to advertise, have one that want to participate sign up with us. On December 1st, we'll start with them one at a time. We'll harvest all the marketable orchards that they can get out of them and get those numbers, and then we move to the next one and the next one. The benefits for the watermen are that in order for this project to work, we want it to go on and work swiftly so we don't tie up a lot of time, so there won't be any limit on their catch. When they're working for us on these seed plants, these small areas, those that sign up to work, you know, if they can catch 40 bushels a day, then that's good for them, and that saves money for them on their fuel, and we get our numbers like we need. So our recommendation is that to handle these areas like that. And of course, that is contentious with some watermen. Other watermen have said this is great. This is like a Christmas gift that we will have, and we will catch more right at Christmas time. So I think that's the highlights of everything. The other thing is that, I mean, just in that regard, our 282550, I put a copy in there for you just so you look at it. I mean, it's very specific that we can use watermen to do these sorts of surveys and cost-benefit analysis, and it actually directs us to do that. So we feel like it's a good way. And, you know, we only need to do this for a couple of years to find out if we're making progress. We don't know how bad the ray situation is. We don't know how bad the disease situation is, and, you know, we may get 100 bushels back, or we may get 500 bushels back, but if we depend on mandatory reporting and the normal reporting, we never get credit for the amount of orchards that we think come out of these seed plants. So, any questions?
Questions of Dr. Wesson?
Mr.
Robbins, thank you.
Thank you. Jim, one question on the, you were talking about monitoring the output from this area in a way that you couldn't otherwise do through mandatory reporting. And which area is that? Is that a, you know, what's the geographic scope of the area that you propose to do
well,
it?
Well, just on this map, I mean, we have seed plants that are up in this area, this put-and-take area.
Right.
In the Rappahannock. But then we also have the seed plants in the Cone and the Yocomico.
So you're asking us to advertise that?
It's already an advertisement in your packet.
Okay.
For a replenishment project.
Okay.
But it's not included in the normal October 1st or December 1st or whatever opening
right.
for the seasons. That when a waterman signs a contract with us, they'll be under the what we require of them in the contract, which is to give us the numbers back every day. And if they don't do it, then they're out of the program. So we'll be handling that.
Further questions?
But
Mr. Fox.
But they'll be able to work on one of those areas until we determine that there are no more oysters there.
Right. Until their catch, if it's not worth their while, then we stop.
We
I mean, we're not going to make them stay beyond where they're making a day's work. I mean,
and we'll go with hand tongs, followed by hand.
For the Yocomico in the shallow areas, we'll go with hand tongs first, followed by clean up the area with hand scrapes. In the other areas that are too deep for the hand tongs, we'll just be hand scrapes only.
Mr. Schick?
And why are we starting in December as opposed to November? In the Yocomico and
we are a very small staff, and we do surveys. We've already started surveys for the fall. We have to get our survey numbers, and it takes us usually we finish up Thanksgiving week,
mm-hmm.
and then I can put staff on that to do it. And you know. We could possibly start this a week early, but I can't say for certain. We're always done by Thanksgiving week, but sometimes it'd be a week earlier than that. I mean, we could conceivably start as soon as we finish the survey, but it will not be very far before December 1st.
Because I know a lot of these guys are coming off a hard, you know, crab season, and I don't think November is going to provide much in the way of crabs for them.
No, but The nice thing about this year is we have a very good harvest available for them in the drumming ground in this area 4, as well as the James hand scrape area will be open that time, and the hand tong area will be open in the James that time. So
pretty good news for a change.
Yep. I mean, we actually went out and checked last week just because we were afraid that they would start dying right here at the season. They're still not dying.
I'm glad.
For sure.
All right, so I'm sorry, Mr. Fox.
So they'll be able to, instead of just, which this table shows, just a couple of months, they'll be able to go as long as their oysters that.
As long as their oysters. I mean, we're just making a guess. If we can do one at a time and they're done in a week, and it may take more than a week for them, but they're not very big areas. You're only talking about if these ones in the Cone Yocomico, they're a couple of acres max. Mm-hmm. So good workers in there, when they can catch unlimited amounts for the day, it will not take very long.
Okay.
So.
Further questions? Thank you, Jim. Public hearing, who wants to be heard on this matter? Mr. Jenkins?
Doug Jenkins, representing Queen River Waterman Association. Also served on the Blue Ribbon Oyster Panel. And the whole object of the Blue Ribbon Oyster Panel, a great portion of it was a distribution of the resource. So watermen of each locality would have oysters to work on each year with a rotation system, keeping some areas closed for 2 years with one area open. Once oysters became legal size to harvest rather than letting them stay there and die of disease or something. It's worked very well in the Rappahannock. And at the time that, and it took us a long time for to get that through the Oyster Heritage Committee as well as the Blue Ribbon Panel to adopt a system like this. And as Dr. Weston said, this year is very promising. The oysters have grown and haven't died. The contention and the problem that I have with this is that the same plan was supposed to be implemented in Potomac River tributaries. Dr. Weston mentioned that it would be sort of a Christmas gift to some of the watermen having to open it up and catching as many as they could during that short period of time. If you were a waterman living on a Machotok or Nominee or the other ports in Westmoreland County or in the Kinsale or the Yokomica area and Cone area with a small boat that you used to could be able to go down and work on the public bottom, it's not much of a Christmas gift to them, because if you open it this way, you can have those boats that are working on the James or the Rappahannock flocking in there for 2-3 days, scooping up the oysters, and those watermen are going to be doing the same thing they've been doing the last 8 or 10 years, sitting on the banks with nothing to go because they don't have the boats of the size to go to these other areas and work. Nominee is closed this year. Last year it opened and we had the watermen in that area had 4 or 5 days, and then they couldn't catch as many oysters to make it just fine to be out there. So my point is, you know, and I suggested this, and I didn't see anything wrong with it, to open it up during the month of November, when some of these other areas is already open, in the Rappahannock, in the James, and those watermen will be there making a good day's work. Those ones that don't have the boats or the means of transport or expense and going traveling to these areas to work, that they would have an area that they could tong in during the month of November, then going back in December and hand scraping it. James River and the Rappahannock and the Great McCormick and these other ports are places where the watermen that live in those localities are fortunate to have natural set of strike. The area that we're talking about here, very seldom, back in when we had good water quality, we only had an oyster set over about once every 15 years, and I'm talking about back in the 60s, you know, when we had that oyster quality. You're going to have a seed plant fishery there. And I, for one, have been encouraged and would want 100% of every oyster caught there reported and tax paid on it. Matter of fact, I've made suggestions that the tax should be increased on it to have money in the fund to receive these areas. It's no more than fair. I mean, the same taxes back when we had oysters at $10-$15 a bushel. It should increase that. The waterman's going to pay for it. The buyer's going to add that, calculate that in what he's paying per bushel. I made suggestions that one police boat could be anchored in that area, which is not hard to patrol, and each waterman, at the end of the day, when he felt like he had what he wanted, you put him on a bushel limit if you want. Put it on a bushel limit and then tong, and then let him report to the police officer, tell him how many bushels, ask him how many bushels he had, who he's going to sell to. And if not anything else, they could give out a voucher or a slip like they've done in years past, where those would have to be calculated and accounted for. I'm willing to go out on a limb. I don't know how much it would cost if VMRC doesn't have the staff to have one boat there and one police officer for to take care of that. Give me a figure of what it will cost, and our Waterman Association will pay for it. But I think it's a downright shame to have something that they've been looking forward to have a go back and work on the board, to be denied of that privilege if you're going to have boats coming in there from everywhere else. I mean, Pocomoke Sound, they have oysters over there, and in Tangier, they're going to have a good oyster season. Rappahannock's going to have one, and James River's going to have one, and you know, the tributaries of Potomac, You got, according to your plan, he's got 1 month open, a hand on, and that's in December. 1 month open in cone in January, when the demand for oysters is weak then, for hands grape. And what I'm doing is just, you know, trying to make something sense out of this and a rotation system, which we talked and discussed in the Blue Ribbon panel, and I don't see that coming in existence under this plan. We're going to do next year, open up one more rock for one more month. I'm open to ideas and suggestions, and I want something that is workable, and I want the oysters the president and candidate for. If the concern is that you got to have dollar back for dollar back, then you should maybe purchase something other for less dollars, and that way you wouldn't have to get minutes back. I mean, the state is purchasing seed for $12 when they could use their own for half of that. So that's my concern, though, is those watermen in that area that has had a very bad crab season might work 3 or 4 days this oyster season unless they have to travel to the Rappahannock or James, and price of gas, it's a burden on them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Any questions, anybody?
Thanks, Doug. Mr. Smith? Good afternoon, sir. Good to have you with us today.
Ken Smith, Virginia Waterman. I need some clarification here because we're different than what we talked about in the shellfish. You're talking about putting this out to different watermen now? I mean, you're having watermen to sign up to work in the Yokomica and the cone? And this part in...
Jim, can you come... If we have it sounds like it might be a good...
Here.
Yes.
All right, now how do we choose these watermen?
If they sign up, they can work.
I mean, anywhere in the state.
I don't think that's going to happen this year because everything else is open to
Senate. I kind of feel.
Yeah.
In that. And then we're going to be able, all of us are going to be able to go to work in December in all of these areas?
No. I mean, it'll depend on, I mean, we could do two at a time, say in the Yokomica. There's only one in the cones.
But I mean, we can't go to these three different locations
no.
at the same time.
No, we'll go one at a time till we harvest them all.
Okay. How many watermen are you going to say are allowed to work in the Yokomica?
I think we're going to be lucky to get enough to make it the project efficient. I mean,
I think the question is there any limit? Is there going to be any
limit? I mean, right. If somebody wants to set a limit, we can set a limit. But in our experience, this day and time, getting workers is more difficult than having too many. I don't know of a replenishment project we've done recently that we had more people that we had to turn away that we couldn't make a way for everybody to work.
Is the Cone River going to be all you can get?
Yes. And the Rappahannock.
And so all of it's going to be all you can get?
Yes.
Can the same waterman sign up for each
place? Yes. And I expect that will happen. That same one can go from one to the next. I don't think we'll have enough unless they're agreeable to doing that because we're going to have a hard time. I mean, there's just not that many hand tongers around to get hand tongers to come work. So
after we satisfy your numbers, are those areas going to be open for the rest of the year that we can go back and tong or dredge or whatever on?
No, when we leave them, they'll be done, and then we'll come back to them next year and finish them up. I mean, we'll be
if you
put
a big bar and people get dissatisfied at 6 bushels a day and they quit, they're not going to be able to come back in February where they catch 4 or whatever. That's closed for good for the whole year.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah. That's, you know, I tell you, I admire Doug. I do.
Me too.
Doug really looks out for the little man. I mean, he does. He thinks about the little man more than anybody, any waterman out there, and any president in any of the associations that we've got. I admire that, but I tell you, I really like that idea, go for it and get them. I mean, I like seeing, you know, that being able to go out there and catch, you know, 20, if you can catch 20 bushels, I like the idea of being able to catch 20 bushels. And I like the idea of what Dr. Wesson is doing right now, that if we can go out there and satisfy what he wants and get these numbers, and we go ahead and we abide with what you want this year, that next year if they come back, that there really is an honest effort coming back into replenishment. And I would hope that would be it. And, you know, like I say, I know Doug and them have been waiting for it. I hope the people that sign up are people that are local to the area. I went out with Dr. Wesson. I don't believe that those areas are big enough that anybody from the James River can justify coming up by them. I mean, they're just not that many oysters. If they do, I think they're going to be very mistaken, and I think maybe three or four boats out there working can clean it up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Anyone else? Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr.
Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Jim has obviously gone through a very thorough discussion of the issues, and I think the recommendation that the maximum call size in the Rappahannock River, that is in areas 4, 5, and 6, be eliminated is a good recommendation, given the fact that when you look at the assessment of what's there, there simply aren't any over that size, where it's so negligible that it's essentially a de minimis component of the stock. So I would make a motion that we adopt staff's recommendations on the harvest seasons and on the maximum call size, and also request advertisement for the Conservation and Replenishment Department project for the contracting.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second. Mr. Tankard, further discussion?
Now, this is dealing with the Rappahannock.
Right.
And the Yocomico and the, I mean, is
right. That's, right. That's all of the staff recommendations.
Yeah, I just would like to, I'd like to try to figure a way we can get these guys working in November, because the oysters are worth twice as much in November as they are in January. And I don't think there's a problem with the concept of having them, you know, go out and get as many bushels as they can, but I'd hate to see them bring in half as much. You know, we should be able to figure out a logistic way to, you know, be able to get these guys fishing in November when these oysters are worth the most, as opposed to January.
We don't see these great differences in prices that people are talking about, the higher value, unless you're hustling oysters around the street. But, I mean, the buyers are pretty consistent, and this year is going to be a seller's market with the Gulf situation the way it is. I mean, when I showed these oysters to, you know, how they looked at some of the buyers up in the Northern Neck, everybody thinks they look great for January, and there's just not going to be anything around in January. Maryland is gone. I mean, Maryland has not done a replenishment project now in 2 years, so we are the only Chesapeake Bay oysters in town for the bay right now. So I don't see this big difference in price.
Well, you did mention a little earlier on that you may be able to get things done. So
yeah, I mean, if I'm done and we can get up there a week early, we'll be there a week early. Because once we have everybody signed up, we call them and say, show up. But at the same time, they're going to be working in a good area in drumming ground, say, and they may not want to come then. Because, I mean, we are very lucky.
What's the likelihood of being able to start 1 week early in November?
It's probably better than 50-50.
Good. Okay. Yeah. To be part of the motion last week in November.
All right. I'll accept that as an amendment.
Mm-hmm. For a second to the motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? I do want to let you know that Senator Stewart did call yesterday expressing his concern along the lines of what Mr. Jenkins had, and I told him we would take that into consideration. I think good debate has been held today amongst all. Mr. Smith and Doug sitting side by side, two of the best minds as far as that's concerned from the industry perspective, and I respect everything Mr. Smith had to say about Mr. Jenkins couldn't be any more accurate. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Did you want to do that?
We're all right.
Okay.
I was going to comment.
I'm sorry.
A little late for that.
A little late.